back again with a jack-o'-lantern in my hand. Which one? In my left. And a knife in my right, grip tight, killing on sight like Mike Halloween night.
Yeah. Don't nobody want it, leave them feeling haunted. Yeah, I'm wanted. Yeah. Put 100 on it if they want to run it. Got it coming, yeah. They can never stomach how I never plummet. Gotta love it.
Imposter. You ain't fucking with a monster.
Nope.
All you do is crack me up, cause this is what it feels like to be a lobster.
Get it?
Probably not. Pumpkin for a brain, eventually those rapping on the killing spree can't seem to be stopped. November 20, the EP will drop.
That's what you want to talk about.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the House of a Thousand Discourses. This is my passion project podcast that provides propaganda. I'm just Cheeky Chin chilling in Pennywise Pub, casually causing some chaos with some Coors Lights and a co-host. His name is David Del Toro. I'm pretty sure that he started in his mother's womb and migrated south, and she shat him out, and he ended up in the clouds somewhere in Chicago, Illinois. Is that true?
That is indeed true.
It is indeed true. So, David Del Toro is your name, but your rap name is Explicit the Gifted.
Yes, sir.
How'd you come up with that?
I pretty much just
was looking for... Say it with your chest, motherfucker.
I was looking for a rap name, and I was, at the time, I was, you know, cursing a lot in my raps and shit, so I was like, you know, fuck it. I'm explicit, you know what I mean? That's me. Always swearing and shit. Eventually, I cut that down, but I still kept the name because it's cool, you know. And I came up with the Gifted, I had some buddies who called themselves like the Monster or the Boxer or some shit like that. So I'm like, what could go good with Explicit? And then I'm like, the Gifted. It's no brainer, right? I mean, it's talent. And
they're like, my name is Steve or the Cleaver.
Explicit the
Gifted. Johnny Ronster the Monster. And you're like, Explicit the Gifted, right?
Exactly, man. Yeah.
I get it.
I mean, it's
sounds... So did you start rapping before I met you? I met you in 2009.
It's been over 10 years for
what
sure.
What is it now? 2021?
21 now.
What's 21 minus 9? How long have I known you? You listeners do the math. We're not doing that. I've known you for a while.
I mean, it's been at least 11 or 12 years.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, for sure, without a doubt. But we kind of obviously, you know, grown distant, but that's just due to life.
Yeah, we haven't grown distant. We just live distant, you know.
Yeah. Because every time we, you know, every time we come back and hang out with each other, man, it's like yesterday.
We pick up where we left off. Yeah,
pretty much picking up.
But you've been doing a lot of shit since the last time I fucking spoke to you, or last time I hung out with you anyway. Dude. You did some shit with Bone Thugs and Harmony, yes?
Yeah. So, not the whole crew, but Lazy Bone, one of the members from the crew, I did a show. I opened up for him and I met him, got a picture with him, you know, got to talk to him a little bit. It was a pretty cool experience. And yesterday, which was your birthday, November 13th, 2021, we were supposed to open up for the whole group, Bone Thugs and Harmony, but then maybe about two or three of the members couldn't make it. So the promoters didn't want to do the show without all of them there.
Right.
Because they've never done a show without all of the members there. So they wanted to make sure, you know.
You can't promote it as Bone Thugs and Harmony, and then you only got, we got Bone and Thugs. Where's Harmony at?
Yeah,
you know, I know that's not their names, but you can't have fucking two-fifths of the group. So I get it.
Yeah, man.
That shit happens all the time in shows and with promotion. Yeah. Shit happens, you know.
It's understandable. And,
yeah.
You know, I just look at it in a positive way. It just gives us more time to go ahead and, you know, get prepared and get ready and get our shit together and make sure we're ready, you know. And
So the intro to this podcast, I played a little bit of your song. What's the song called?
The song's called Boogeyman.
Nice.
Yeah, so the year before, I made a song called Monster, and I made a music video for it. It's out on, if you go to YouTube, you can find it on Chicago AF. You just type in Chicago AF, go to YouTube and type that in, and then you can find all our stuff there. But we did a music video last year called Monster, and I did it because, you know, I'm into all that horror stuff like you are. So I figured, hey, man, let me do a Halloween song, something. So I came out with Monster, and this year I'm like, let me do something else, you know, something not similar, but something a little cooler. And Halloween Kills. You know, I don't want to promote. I don't know if that's, you know, getting into legal issues or nothing.
Bloomhouse don't pay me.
But anyway, dick,
Jason Bloom. No, I'm just kidding. I know you're listening.
I'm just kidding
right there. It's like, hey, Leonardo DiCaprio, thanks for being a listener.
Yeah, right. But anyway, man, I'm just like, you know, super into that whole Halloween, you know, thing, and you know, the whole Halloween season, you know. So I came out with Boogeyman, and you know, like I said, that new Michael Myers movie was just came out. I'm a big fan of that and all the, you know, movies from the franchise. And yeah, man, I just, how can I relate to the Boogeyman but talk about it in a perspective from a rapper, you know?
Right.
Talking to other that rappers, makes sense. Like, you know, I'm the Boogeyman in the rap game, kind of, you know.
Yeah, sounds, I get kinda, it. I
might sound it. Corny to some, but.
Absolutely not. Yeah, and if you think it's corny, then eat a big bowl of dicks.
Right.
Okay. So, one of the first tracks you and I ever did together, I remember you referencing the Boogeyman, and you're like, you just been treated, ain't even Halloween yet. Like, you said some shit about Michael Myers and the Boogeyman, yeah. and this was 10 years ago, so you're not hopping on a bandwagon about, like, oh, horror movies are cool now all of a sudden just because I'm in Pennywise Pub. Like, you've been a fucking legit horror movie fan.
Oh, yeah, man, without a doubt, and... The funny thing is when we were real small, when we were kids, me and my cousins, they used to scare me. They used to scare the hell out of me, dude, with Candyman. They used to say, Candyman's coming, Candyman. Yeah. And dude, I used to be scared shitless.
And you're
man.
From Chicago, so that had to be even more
scary.
Well,
dude, I mean, think about it. Halloween, Haddonfield, Illinois.
Right.
That's Illinois. You got Jason. Crystal Lake. We got a Crystal Lake out here.
This is true. I'm glad you brought this up. I'm gonna touch on this real quick. But, all you motherfuckers that share that meme about Jason and Freddy and Michael Myers and Candyman being from Illinois, and this is why the Midwest is so fuck, stop sharing that meme because it's 100% not true. I just want to go out here and say this since you brought it up, so fuck it. I'm gonna go on a tangent, okay? Candyman is from New Orleans, but the movie takes place in Chicago in Caprini Green.
Right.
Charles Lee Ray, the serial killer in the Chucky movies, that movie, it takes place in Chicago, but he's from Hackensack, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Jason Voorhees drowned in Camp Nobibosco or Camp No Blood, and this was in New Jersey as well. And then who's the other one we brought up? Oh, Michael Myers. Haddonfield, Illinois is a fictional town in Illinois that was John Carpenter invented.
When really they shot it in California.
Yeah, and you can see all the palm trees in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm like totally digressing it, and I don't mean to bring this up to like bring up anything that you said, like, oh, you're wrong, because you're not. You're just talking, right?
Yeah.
But definitely. I'm sick and tired of people on the fucking internet sharing that meme, like, oh, I'm from Illinois, and so is Chucky and Michael. I'm like, no, they're not. Fucking watch a horror movie, fuckface.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, email me, and I'll fucking school you. So, anyways, but being from Illinois, but you're the Chicago man, and then like fucking... Being a Candyman fan.
Well, yeah, definitely.
The fucking Caprini Green is in fucking Chicago, so.
Well, yeah, and even Chucky, dude. Like, dude, my brother, I used to scare him shitless with that doll. You know, my uncle would throw the doll by him when he's sleeping. He'd wake up, turn around, and my dad's fucking hear my brother screaming, like, be pissed off. What the hell are you doing?
Right.
You know, screaming at my uncle, his brother.
So, as a rapper, being where you're from and then being in the Rockford scene and then, like, you do shows in multiple places in this area. So, first of all, like, why'd you start rapping and where were you living when you first started rapping?
Well, I first started rapping in the end of 2007, beginning of 2008. And the whole purpose for that was just because I got kicked out of school, you know. I'm not going to go into detail with that. That's a whole different story, but... I eventually ended up getting kicked out of school, so I had nothing else to do. I was sitting at a desk of mine in my room, and I was watching a movie. And at the end of the movie, there was a credit, you know, every movie has a credit scene at the end. So there was this one song playing, and for some reason, I just pulled out some paper and a pen, and I just started writing to that beat or whatever
that
song
instrumental.
Was. Yeah, in the background. And I, you know, the rest is history.
Where were you living though? Like in country living, wise, like where were you at in the world?
I was in Cicero, Illinois at the time.
It's like a suburb of Chicago. Yeah, yes,
it's a suburb right outside Chicago, maybe 5 minutes right outside the borderline.
So you played shows in Cicero and probably Lombard and probably Chicago and probably Rockford and would you say Peoria, Freeport, whatever. This whole Midwestern area, this Illinois area. Yeah. How did you branch out, dude? Like, how did you start getting these bigger, better shows outside of out of your neighborhood?
Man, well, honestly, we just started networking. It really stemmed from an event. It stemmed from underground events that we started going to. And, you know, these are like cannabis events and such like that. But we would just start going to these cool events, and there'd be a lot of people there, and we'd just start networking with them, and we do film and photography, so, you know, every time we were, you know, in one of them events, we would be, you know, recording or getting film or pictures with everyone and introducing ourselves, and, you know, one thing led to another, and we just started building relationships with people, but, you know, it's just from, you know, working hard and just consistency and keep doing what we're doing, yeah.
All right.
I kind of got lost because I'm high right now.
No, you're super stoned.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Guess what? I'm super drunk.
Well, hey, man.
And it's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Good morning, yeah.
Welcome back to the House of 1,000 Discourses, my passion project podcast that provides propaganda.
Yes, sir. Man, hey.
But... you got any questions? This is my unofficial co-host the night, Chase Data.
I'm sitting on the sidelines here. The only question I do have, though. Is,
yeah, we're gonna bring you in too, big dog.
How long do we have?
That's rap what
I
was
a. We're gonna
rap
go was until I say I fucking don't want to do it anymore.
I'm just saying.
Right. Like, didn't they ban rap like in Rockford and like
hip hop shows? To a certain extent, absolutely they did.
Yeah, they did. Unfortunately,
I don't want to name drop the venue, but there was a bar in McChesney Park, Illinois, and they did metal shows and like. Everyone's like, oh, don't do metal shows. We don't want this in our fucking neighborhood. And it's like, dude, we came every weekend. We had did gigantic festivals.
Is that when they
no one batted a fucking eye at the metal scene, right? Because we're all fucking super cool. They did one goddamn rap show. And I told you about this. I'm like, dude, you wouldn't believe what happened last night.
Yeah.
Homeboy fucking played his birthday party show, hopped off stage, point blank range. He got shot on the floor. And then... that particular venue, bar, whatever you want to call it, is done now. And, like, Rockford don't fuck with hip-hop because yeah. of the crowd it brings.
Right.
Because they're typically gangbangers, whatever.
Yeah.
People want to wear certain fucking colors. Metalheads wear black. That's all we wear is black. I don't got a fucking t-shirt that's red, green, blue, whatever. But when you start fucking with the hip-hop scene in a town like Rockford, Illinois...
yeah.
Homie, you lived in Rockford. Remember when we were hanging out on your balcony? Pop, 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 pop.
Oh,
and it was one of your first weekends in Rockford. I'm like, welcome to Rockford, motherfucker.
No, Rockford.
He's like, dude, yeah. was that gunshots? And I'm yeah. like, yeah, dog, that's how Rockford is.
Yeah.
It's fucking buck wild,
dude. It comes 4th of July, you don't know the difference. Because
yeah,
they right. love to light it up on 4th of July. Cause
yeah.
fuck it.
I'm lucky enough to live in Cherry Valley. I got a campground in between the two.
Because yeah.
I'm far enough away from Chicago to not deal with the riffraff. But I'm close enough to Rockford to fucking have right. friends in Rockford to where I don't want to go over there. Fuck that. You know?
Yeah,
but.
Man. I mean, shit. When right down the corner from where I was staying when I was in Rockford, there was something went down, like some kind of shooting or something. I'm not too sure exactly, but I mean, the ambulance were out there. They definitely had the stretcher out, so and the red tape, all that stuff, you know?
Right.
Something, I mean...
definitely. Introduce your homeboy back there.
So I got my guy Ambu with me. He's from the crew, so ill with it. And
introduce yourself.
Yo, yo, what up? My name's Ambu. I'm also a member.
Say it with your chest, motherfucker. That's a microphone.
Come on.
I'm also a member of So Ill With It Productions. I'm right here with my boy X. Our guy JP, unfortunately, just left not so long ago.
Yes, sir, JP.
But we in here. We just performed the show today, and we are lit at 5:31 in the fucking morning.
He said we're a part of So Ill With It Productions. We haven't even brought that up yet, the So Ill With It thing. When I first met you, I remember seeing you with fucking So Ill With It written on fucking notepads. And like, you're like, dude, I'm fucking doing this thing. It's fucking So Ill With It. That's how we met. Yeah. You're like, I rap. I'm like, no shit, I rap too. But you had a whole production thing. Like, you had microphones and closets and everything. Why did you call it? You could have called it anything, right?
Yeah.
Why did you call it So Ill With It?
Well, long story short, my cousin, he goes, his name is Santos. He goes by the name of Tos, T-O-S. That's his rap name.
Santos is Spanish for God, Santos, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, he and his guy back in the day, way back in the day when I was young.
Yeah.
Keep
talking. I'm listening.
No, so... Yeah, there's a cat. There's something going down. Don't mind them, okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Keep talking.
So no, anyway.
I've been curious about this too. Like, where did So Ill With It come from? No,
so, my cousin, him and his guy, I think his name was Michael, they used to rap. And they this was back when there was tapes, cassette tapes, where you could put in the radio. If you kids even know what that means, you know.
Well, it's easy to record on those, though. You could record on one of them. Yeah. Easily, you know?
I mean, you just hit the record button to, you know, pull it up right to your, well, now you got phones, so that's the crazy thing. Now you just bust your phone out and record like we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah, they used to record and have these mixtapes and stuff, and literally they were mixtapes, like I said, cassette tapes, and they used to call themselves So Sick With It Records. So, you know, I was so inspired by my cousin and you know, the stuff him and his guys used to do and how they used to have, you know, he would put a cassette in the radio, a cassette tape in the radio, and I would be so amazed that that's him on the cassette.
Right.
Like, wow, that's you? Like, what the hell? How do you do that? How'd you get yourself on the tape like that? Like, you know, I look at him like an actual artist.
You
were none
the wiser. You had no idea.
Man, right? I was like, wow, that's so cool. How do you... So I was inspired by that. And I was like, man, you know, I want to do that. That's something cool. Like, I could see myself doing. So eventually, I never knew down the road, you know, I would get kicked out of school and get expelled and all that bullshit. And then eventually start writing. It just naturally came. You know, I just for some reason pulled that paper out. I could have did anything else.
Right.
But I always was into music. I always, since as long as I can remember, I've always loved music. It always moved me in some kind of way.
So were you a lyrical person? Like, see, me, I'm a lyrical person. I don't care what the music sounds like, but lyrics mean everything to me. You know what I mean? So...
No, I mean, it's definitely...
I don't know how that is with different people, you know.
I've been...
Everyone's different on that one.
I'm a big fan, so everyone, you know, a lot of people when it comes to rap or hip-hop, they ask, you know, like, who would you pick, Tupac or Biggie? Well, it's hard because, you know, you got Tupac, they're both, you know, the best in their own perspective. It's like, Tupac, he was a poet, he just talked about real shit. Right. Biggie, he was lyrical, like... Just ba da ba ba da ba ba da ba da. Every word was just rhyme after rhyme after rhyme. He was just went in on it, you know. But Tupac, he told stories. He told, you know, he talked political stuff. He had a song about his mama, stuff he felt, you know. And where this is coming from, a thug, you know what I mean? Somebody who's supposed to be a thug.
Tupac was a theater nerd.
Theater nerd, yeah.
In high
school,
exactly. He was a fucking theater nerd. Mm-hmm. No offense against that.
No.
You know?
I get exactly
being
what
being artist.
You mean,
art is art, is it not? Well, he was a theater nerd, and he was into musicals and dancing. And
but that's
art. He fucking danced for fucking, like, fucking the underground, the fucking, the big nose guy. Man, I'm fucking wasted.
No, that's cool.
But
that's
the fucking, my name was Humpty.
Yeah.
He danced for them.
Well,
and,
do hum.
And I think that, in my personal opinion, I think Tupac, first and foremost, artist, right?
Right.
I don't think he was a gangster. I think at his heart, he was an artist. And I think he fucked around with the wrong people.
Yes, I agree.
And then he got super famous and had to pretend to be somebody he wasn't.
100%.
And that's why he got fucking killed. And I think Biggie is the same fucking situation.
Yes.
Big boy from fucking Brooklyn or whatever. He might have sold crack a couple times. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a theater boy at heart. Artist.
Yeah.
Rapper.
Definitely.
They got caught up in the fucking fame and the bullshit and pretended to be people they weren't And that's why they fucking died. The industry. And that set the fucking tone for the rest of the rappers. Like, be careful who you pretend to be, motherfucker. Because you will fucking die in this game.
It's almost like
Suge Knight is a fucking gangster.
Oh, yeah.
He's a fucking real gangster. And he's, dude, he stole Death Row Records.
Right.
He was the only real gangster in the fucking rap game. He like gangster rap is something created by the fucking media. Snoop Dogg wasn't a fucking gangster either. He was rapping in fucking high school. Yeah. And he wore fucking, you know, blue bandanas, and he probably knew some Crips, but he wasn't no fucking Crip. No. He was just a fucking kid from the hood who was an artist.
It's all about the media.
First and foremost, an artist. And then when they get fucking under the fucking spotlight, they start pretending to be people who they're not. And that's why they say, what? Keep it real? That's why they say, keep it real. Because motherfuckers die if you don't. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
keep it fucking real, dude.
Yeah, live what, by the sword, die by the sword.
Right, you know? Yeah. Right. That's... But, like, that goes against what I used to do, too. I would talk about fucking, you know, killing my wife and burying her. Like, I got some pretty sick and twisted fucking songs, you know? Yeah. But the reason why I did that, I created a character. I created Joey Columbine. I wasn't Darren Duncan when I rapped.
Yeah,
I was Joey Columbine. And I talked about all these fucked up things. I never pretended to be, you know what I'm saying? I never said I did that shit. That's why Joey Columbine was born.
Yeah, no.
Because I wasn't going to fucking pretend to be something I'm not. When I'm on stage, I'm a different person. That's why I had contacts and different fucking clothing and trench coats. And I was trying to be controversial. You know what I'm saying? Like, be careful who you pretend to be, dude.
But you're also creating an art form. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're creating a personality that isn't you, but it is you. Like, you're creating something that you love. I don't know. It's,
right. I'm totally getting off topic a little bit, but, like, you brought up the...
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
You know? And, like, there's this book called Original Gangstas. And, like, read that motherfucker. It's all about how N.W.A. started. And it's written by a white dude. A white dude, it took him, like, It took him, like, 15, 20 years to write this book. He hunted down everybody. And he wrote this book called Original Gangstas. And it's all about the rap guys.
Damn.
And, like, they're all fake as fuck.
Yeah.
They're not who they pretend to be. You know what I'm saying? They're not fucking thugs. And that's what I appreciate about you. Is, like, you keep it real. You went on stage last night and you're like, this next song's about this. You know what I'm saying? And in your head, you're like, should I even say this shit? And you're like, fuck it. I went against the grain. I said it. And what'd the crowd do?
Yeah, I mean,
crazy.
Yeah, I got their attention. You know what I mean? Because it's not something that you would expect any individual to say on stage, you know, because you don't know, are they telling the truth? Are they being serious right now?
Right.
Or are they just, you know, messing around and just being the rapper right now?
Right.
No. Most of everything that I talk about, if you actually listen to my music and take the time to listen to my music and sit there and play it from beginning to end, you know, you'll hear what I'm talking about. You'll hear that, you know, what I'm saying it's not no fake shit. I mean, most of it, if not all of it, 95 or 98% of it is most things that people can relate to on a daily basis or at one point in their lifetime or, you know, whatever the case may be.
What does your mom and dad think about your music?
You know, they're just, as long as I'm doing what I got to do to, you know.
Do you play your music for your mom and dad? Your mom's still alive, yes?
Yeah, my mom and my dad,
I know she's alive. I just took her out to dinner last night.
Oh, man. That's unfortunate.
She likes shrimp, dude.
She didn't tell me.
Yeah, no. It was fucking. We were going to invite you, but we were like, it'd be awkward and shit.
Oh, man, dude. Yeah, I'm going to have to ask her about that. She didn't tell me, actually.
When you ask her about it, she's going to tell you that I'm lying.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we got this recording, so I'm going to show her, like, hey.
The fuck, Mom?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't like fat white guys. Come on, man. So, have you ever played a song for your mom or no?
Yeah, I actually made her a song. It's called...
man. You did.
So it's been a long time.
You can't remember the name of the song that you wrote for your mother? I'm gonna call her real quick and ask her if she remembers what it is.
Oh man,
I'm using my phone to record the podcast. Chase, give me your phone. I got. I know it was mine's phone.
I don't know. Okay, look, it's like 5:41 in the morning. We've been up since yesterday, and we're pretty lit right now. We've had a couple shots, a couple drinks.
No, I'm just fucking with you. It don't matter. It's cool. I don't remember the name.
Actually, it does. Hey, man, it kind of does. Like you. Yeah, it's mother like you. Mother
Del Toro.
Mom, I'm sorry. I did not remember that.
Hey, Del Toro's mom, in all honesty, I don't remember the name of the song I wrote for you either.
Oh. Okay. How many more you got coming? See, I should have. I look it. Here's the thing.
You wanted to be on the podcast.
Me and this guy haven't. Me and this guy haven't seen each other in 4 years, man. This is my brother. Like the way we met, just the whole story is funny as shit. You know, it was through Lowe's, out of all places.
Yeah.
Lowe's Warehouse. Thank you, Lowe's, for bringing us together. Yeah, man.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that place. So tell me. I'm not trying to fucking take the spotlight, but tell me your first impression of me, how we first met.
Yeah, definitely, man. This is orientation, right? We're just ready to get the job and all that, trying to, learn the ropes, sitting in class and whatnot, and going through all that bullshit, 8 hours of sitting around and just trying to, listen to people speak. This guy walks in with a trench coat, and he looks all fucked up and shit, man. Like, man, he just partied, or he's ready to fuck someone up. Like, you look like you were ready to, man. So, let's fast forward a little bit, but not really.
He's like,
we'll get okay. Look, I'm gonna fast forward and come back. It's just you called yourself Joey Columbine at one time, and when you walked in, that's what I thought. Like, this is a Columbine dude, man, because he got the trench coat. Like, who's coming into orientation like that? Like, you know what I mean? Who the hell comes in like that? This guy with the hair all down and looked like your hair was all wet, man. Like, I don't, like, you just came, went through some shit, and come to find out you actually... did that, which is another story. But
he's like, oh wait, this guy's actually supposed to be here for an interview. He's like, I thought there was an active shooter situation.
It's like, fuck.
And then I didn't want to say that, but yeah, I mean, that's what I kind of thought.
Am I gonna die today or be my best friend?
Yeah, I'm like, fuck, this guy. Well, he's coming sitting next to me. I mean, and that's the thing. He came and sat next to me out of all fucking people, and I was like more in the back, I think, trying to stay away from motherfuckers. This guy comes and sits right down the road, right then, next to me and shit. I'm like, well, hey, man. And to be honest, I've smoked so damn much, I kind of forgot how we started talking, but I definitely know it was because of work.
I probably made fun of you for being a Mexican or something.
You
who
were
knows?
Calling me Chicano and shit like that, man. I'm telling you.
I forgot, because he's from Chicago, but his eyes are slanted because he's always
oh
so stoned.
God.
And here's
so
the
I'm
other
like,
cool
Chicano,
thing.
Chicano, what up? And he's like,
here's
is
the
this
other...
guy going to stab me or high-five me?
Well, that's the cool thing about you, man. You always had these nicknames for people and shit. And like, my last name, government name is Del Toro, right? Del Toro. It's a Latino.
The bull.
Yeah, the bull. So I got this famous name, Del Toro Loco. And after, and it was all because of this guy, man. Like,
yeah, I started this
ever
shit.
Since that, like, there was so, everyone at work started calling me, hey, Del Toro Loco. And I'm like, oh, shit. And yeah, just, ever since then, I just started using that name. And it just carried 15 on.
15 years
man.
Later,
yeah,
he's still
man.
Del Toro Loco.
Now you need to make music under a different alias and just have a whole different vibe and just be Del Toro Loco.
Del Toro
Loco. Del Toro Loco.
No, that's when he's going to make sexy movies.
Yeah,
he's
man.
Like, R&B. He's going to rip back the curtain and his robe at the same time, like, orale, Del Toro's Loco's here for the pitos. And he pulls it out and it goes...
Slaps.
Fucking,
yeah. It'll slaps definitely be eats. Some shit you could shake your ass to, for sure.
Right.
But... Yeah, man, it's been a long time coming.
It's crazy, huh, man?
Yeah, but this ain't the end. This is just the beginning.
No, absolutely not.
Just the beginning.
You two look like you got fucking something whisking up. What are you going to do?
We're dipping out.
You're leaving? Yeah.
So, wait, you got to come tell the people right now,
Who are you?
The people. We got the people listening and still recording. Don't stop the recording.
You're going to go home?
Yeah.
For reals?
For realskies.
So,
we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Yeah, let's do that.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the fucking August heat and your huevos felt so dry and they needed to be embraced with some moisture, I introduce you the Del Toro Dungaroos. All you got to do is insert, thrust, repeat, and they will be applied with saliva, straight from Ambu's mouth. So, go to House of 1000 Discourses, use checkout code FUCKAMBU for 10% off.
When the beat drop, better run, how come, tell them why? Better run, cause I'm a monster. When it drop, I'm a, yeah, yeah, I'm a monster. I'm a monster. I'm a, yeah, yeah, I'm a monster. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Better run and hide to stay a suicide. I never lie, you're calling out for help. You better handle that. Well, they tried to hip hop out, I bought it back like Frankenstein. Hey, yeah, yeah, it's alive, the monster inside. Come to life soon as electrified. Fear in their eyes, you can clearly see the terrified. Jekyll and Hyde turn into a whole different guy. Music is another way for me to escape. Take caution when the beast is unleashed, release from its cage. Murder, murder, that's all he wrote, they ain't on the same page. Keep all that negative energy away from me like sage. Stop, drop, and roll. Right into a sewer hole, to the bottom they go. But it's all good though, cause eventually they all flow. Pennywise said so, and according to him, when it comes to this, I'm one of the goats. Cause when the beat drop, they all run. How come? I'll tell you why. Tell them why. Cause I'm a monster.
Welcome back to the House of 1000 Discourses. This is my passion project podcast that provides propaganda. I am your host, Darren Duncan, and I'm just chickity chin chilling in Pennywise Pub, casually causing some chaos with some carnals. So, that song was called Monster, yes?
Yes, sir.
Wrap that up. What is it about? I know you had some horror movie references in there, and that shit fucking tickled my pee-pee. It turned my foreskin into an eight skin. Elaborate.
Yeah, man. Well, like I was saying, I'm just really into all that horror stuff, man. You know, my cousin scared me when I was a kid, but I grew up and eventually started loving it. And I eventually, you know, became a fan like everyone else. And, you know,
what made you bring horror into your songs? Like, why? Like, because you could talk about fucking politics. You could talk about religion. Why were you like, oh, I'm going to rap about horror movies?
Well, I kind of always like to, I always did kind of look up to Eminem, and, you know, he used to be one of them personas where you just go off the rails, and he had a whole, you know, different personality to him, and that's kind of, like, what I wanted to do is, like, take it somewhere to, like, where I'm kind of letting out my, like, crazy inner, you know, other personality, so to say, so... I just went into a different, you know, I just tried to sound different, I guess.
It makes sense.
I just didn't want to sound like everyone else, and I wanted to try and, you know, do this whole rap thing in a way, like, where I can show my, horror trivia, I guess, so to say.
I guess.
Like, what I know, yeah. You know?
I suppose. Your references were on point.
Yeah.
You weren't just some jerk off being like, oh, I'm fucking Michael Myers stabbing people. Like, you had references. Like, yeah. Your references were on point, and the listeners are going to get that. They're going to totally understand.
It goes back to that song. I got a song called Alien, and if you go to that and listen to that, I'm kind of comparing myself to an alien, but in a way, like, saying I'm on a different planet than you guys. I'm on a whole different... You know, when it comes to my skill with this whole rap thing, I can do it differently than you. I'm not the same, like,
right.
Where I am not the same, where I am a Martian, you know, type thing. And, you know, I just try to get creative with it, man. It's art. You got to try and, you know, get creative with it and try and dig out that art that's in
right.
It, man. Because everybody got it. You just got to find it. I never knew I could rap. I never knew I could do all this stuff. But I guess it took me to get... my ass, you know, in check from getting kicked out of school and whatnot and seeing my mom disappointed and, you know, just growing up. It's all a part of life, man. And somehow this just ended up being a part of my life and, you know, it's brought me a long way. You know, I've been through some shit like everyone else and music has just, it's brought me a long way, man. It's really carried me.
You're exactly where you're supposed to be now because if you weren't, you'd be somewhere else. You know what I mean? So all the bullshit that you went through and dealt with, like,
well,
made you who
you are. I wouldn't be here, man.
Right.
If we're really, you know, want to get technical with it, but.
Well, speaking of that, before we, like, let's not get crazy deep, because I know exactly where you want to go.
For sure.
But this EP coming out has a lot to do with all the fucking things that you went through, right?
Yeah, man. So you guys.
So sum up your EP and, like, you know, like, why did you, because, like, you've been busting flows forever.
Yeah.
How come, without going into detail, how come all of a sudden now were you like, this is it, fucking, I'm putting my heart on the fucking table, and like, this is my fucking real EP? Because you put out mixtapes and CDs that you're super proud of, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But this one, you're like, fucking, this one's legit. Like, this is the real fucking one, right? And this is your EP, and what do you call it?
The EP's called Restless Mind, and it's pretty much just, you know, talking about real life stuff and, you know, what people go through on a daily basis, man. It happens all the time. When you hear the EP from beginning to end, it's pretty much a whole story, you know what I mean? And a lot of people are going to be able to relate, but, you know, it's only if you listen to it and really sit down. You just something you got to, like, put the headphones on and sit back and listen to it word for word, beginning to end, because it's just...
You don't want people to listen to it. You want them to experience it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a movie, man. I mean,
right.
When you listen to it, it really is. You put that on, and it touches me every time. I can't... There's not a time I could go, you know, without listening to it and not... almost shed a tear, because it's right. Man, it's something I poured my heart and soul into. It's something, when I was in a dark place when I wrote that, you know, when I did that EP, when I made that, and I was it was one of those things where I was like, should I put this out, should I not put this out? It was really, you know, hard to...
Did you really battle with yourself like that? But you wrote it anyway. You're like, all right, I wrote it, it's done. Like, should I keep this for me, or should I show people? Like, did you really battle with yourself at that point? Like,
oh, yeah, definitely, man, all the time. I mean, even as I was recording the songs, it was hard for me to even do that. I was in the studio with JP, you know, shout out JP. Man, he, you know, I there was a point where I had to tell him, like, man, I don't know if I could, you know, I got to stop. I just need to, you know, stop for a minute. He's like, you know, take your time. So eventually I, you know, went back in it. And laid the tracks down and got it done. You know, at the end of the day, we got to work and, you know, stay on top of it. So that's what I did. And, man, it's just, when you listen to it, it's a masterpiece.
Yeah, because I'm not even going to lie. Even when, you know, I first heard your tracks off of that EP and, like, I, you know, asked you, like, hey, like, send that to my email.
Yeah.
And, you know, me and my girlfriend, you know, like, Brittany, like, we fucking listened to it as a whole. And, like, holy shit, you know, it's very personal, it's powerful, and it's very, like, intimate compared to, like, you know, everything else that we've put out. Because, you know, all these songs that we put out, yeah, they mean a lot. But, like, holy shit, this EP, like, really just set the standard for, you know, what you really had to say.
Yeah.
And, like, that was amazing to me when I seen it, you know, like, dude, like, I know we're on the same team, but, like, holy shit, bro, like, that was amazing.
So this comes out on the 20th.
I appreciate that. November 20th, 2021. A week from now.
So, how are you going to release it?
It's going to be on all major streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, you know, Amazon, all that. So
YouTube. And then after that, you plan to play, are you going to play these songs live, or are you going to keep it, like, in your fucking, close to your chest?
No. I'm definitely going to play them live. I've actually already played maybe two or three of them live already at a couple of shows. And, I've actually got some good reactions to them. So I'm definitely going to have to do, you know, the whole EP, if not, you know, a couple of songs at, you know, whatever upcoming events.
You gotta wait for the crowd reaction to see, like, your fans and people who download it and be like, oh, this is my favorite song or whatever, and then
kind of
go from that to see which ones you're gonna play live or no.
You definitely want to introduce, you know, obviously you want to introduce all the tracks eventually, but you gotta wait and make sure you performing them at when you have the right crowds, you know, because there's certain crowds that, you know,
they don't want to hear the sappy stuff.
Well, yeah, there's, you know, certain crowds for everything, but
right,
you just want to, you know, make sure you
And I said sappy is a lack of a better term.
No, like, yeah.
Your EP's not fucking woe is me, my fucking dog died, and my fucking tractor broke down. You're not singing with an emo kid.
No, for sure.
You know, you're just you're boring you're bearing your heart, right? So it's just lyrical content. It's more sentimental, not musically sentimental. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have fucking.
You don't want to go into. You're not fucking. You don't,
the guy from fucking.
You don't want to go into a club and be a Debbie Downer and come in with the sad music.
Right.
You
know, that's why I never played fucking like If I Were to Die Tonight live that many times, yeah. Or fucking Ain't No Sunshine, you know.
Right.
And there's a few songs that I never played live because like you got to keep it hype, right? But
well, that's the thing too, and I want to make that clear about the EP. It's not anything, you know, like oh yeah, some shit. Well, we're gonna turn up to this, you know. It's not nothing like that. Like I said, it's more of real life stuff and what you people go through, and you know what most people can put on and play and be like, oh man, I get exactly what he's saying. I know how he feels, or I know what he's coming, where he's coming from, or what he's talking about.
Right.
That's what I want. I want to be able to touch people and touch their lives and be able for them to be relate to the music, you know?
I've always thought that music was a universal language. And then yeah. If you think about it, like, music was one of the first forms of communication, period. You know, yeah. Like, tribes would speak with drums. They would let people know when there was a predator in the area yeah. with drums. Before there was language, they would beat on shit, you know? So music to me is a universal language.
I mean, it definitely moves the soul, man.
You right.
know? I mean, there's no doubt about that. Anybody can put music on and definitely, you know, it'll change their mood entirely. Just by playing music, you know, and listening right. to music, it's just moving, you know. And
right. I can't even imagine a world without music.
Right. Like, I just that's what don't I mean. See it. Right.
It's a weird thing. Like, yeah. I know people who aren't into music yeah. and they're just like, they're like, oh, I listen to the radio on the way to work, but that's about it. And I'm like, dude, have you ever heard this song? And they're like, I have no idea. Like, I listen to, you know, the radio on the way to work. And like, what's fucked up about me to reverse it is like, I don't listen to music in the car or anything. Like, yeah. I only listen to music, like, basically when it's either stuff I made or I'm, like, fucking got headphones on and I'm shit hammered, I'm listening to music. Because when I make, when I'm making music, I want zero outside influences.
Yeah.
So that's when I turn the world off and I don't listen to music.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes any sense. And it might be a stupid thing. I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's somebody out there that can relate to it, I suppose.
Right, but it's different if you just don't fuck with music at all. Like, dude, there was one time I was going to a party. I took an Uber there because I didn't want to drive. And fucking this fucking Uber driver literally was just... We're driving quiet the whole time. And I was just like, hey, like... I was like, can you turn on the radio? And he was just like, I'd prefer not to. And I was just like,
to me, that's the best Uber driver of all time. Because I want to sit in something like, I don't know you, you're a stranger. I got my pocket knife in one hand and my phone in the other, and I'm on Facebook. Just yeah. get me home.
Nah, I'd rather in all honesty, that's how I would be. I don't fucking, you know, like, it's not weird. And yeah, he legitimately said that he just doesn't listen to music. And I even asked him, I was like, so you just don't, like any kind of music at all? And he said, no. It's like, I enjoy my silence, and I was
just hey, man, like, some okay. people need their fucking, yeah. you know, some people live within the walls of their own cranium, you yeah. know, and they just, and they need that, you know.
Yeah,
to me,
like,
my
okay.
my own fucking, the only time, I got a couple of rules with my kids. If I'm in the bathroom, if I'm on the phone, or if my headphones are on,
don't
fucking
fuck with me.
Bug me. Yeah,
don't fuck with 'cause
I'm
me.
Doing something, like, yeah. especially... in the shower, like, that's the only time I get to process my fucking life and just fucking break everything down, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
man.
It's not even really breaking everything down, it's just being alone it's, with yeah. my own fucking thoughts,
being
and they're not
yourself.
Even fucked up anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've been through some shit in this, and now I'm just like, whew, like,
yeah,
just, I want to be blank, that. You know? Like, give me fucking 7 minutes. Of just fucking nothing.
Yeah, let me feel the water pouring down my face.
Just nothing. Yeah, you know? Pretend there's nothing. So, man, we gotta wrap this up because we'd be talking for fucking evers and evers and ever. So,
yeah, definitely.
Fucking Johnny Ruckus, motherfuckers, is your name. He's from fucking, he's from Shit Whistler Productions. Any final thoughts, man?
Yeah, Shit Whistler Productions, a.k.a. So Ill With It. You know, my name's Zambu. It's been quite a fucking
Dick
night.
Squeezer. He squeezes dick. He's like, when Ambu showed up. No, Ambu showed up to my house and he's like, why do you keep calling me Dick Squeezer? And I'm like, because you squeeze dicks. Yeah. Oh, I'm just kidding.
This is why, you know, this is why I came for this. I mean, man, it's been
he
such a long
time. He forgot my name.
It
fuck
is,
him.
Is
I'm
the
just
most
kidding.
I still
want the hat. And hey, I got the marker. You fucking Mr. fucking internet guy with your fucking, what do you guys do on the, with the fucking Snapchat stuff?
No, man.
You guys been YouTubing all night long. I'm taking this hat, and
you
he's going to autograph it, and you're going to Snapchat, and he's going to autograph it.
You can take the hat, but don't forget.
But in all honesty, Ambu, man, let's get some final thoughts, brother.
What's up? What's up?
Where's the marker?
Yeah.
All right.
Where's the fucking marker?
No, we're Ambu. Fucking final thoughts.
Final thoughts, Ambu.
Besides that, you were making fun of JP all night, talking mad shit. He's like, as soon as JP left, Ambu was like, I hate that fucking guy. I'm so glad he left. Fuck JP, he's a fucking scumbag.
JP, you know this motherfucker on bullshit, man.
Oh, man.
I'm setting him up for failure, baby.
Bro, I'm about to summon
JP,
your ass
I'm just fucking
here,
around with you, man.
No, you know,
JP ain't gonna hear this.
JP
don't hear me.
Nah, yeah, he will.
He knows you had to bless him, though. You had to bless Ambu into the Pennywise Studios.
Yeah, so, good to be a part of it.
You ever listen to Insane Clown Posse? He's like, yes. I am Boo, your mama, through a coffee table. On the way, he said, Sabu, my bad.
At one point in my
life, final thoughts.
I had a very big phase of ICP.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right, let's go around round table real quick. Final thoughts. Sorry for fucking busting fucking Ambu's balls. I had to do it.
You know, I like busting.
Final thoughts there, Mr. fucking Chicago Blackhawks.
Shit, it was a good night.
All right, we're going to pass the mic to David Del Toro.
Oh, man.
You fucking motherfucker. Go ahead, talk,
no,
man.
For reals. Let's do final thoughts real quick. Let's get out of here. Ambu, go ahead.
But,
so this one time.
Fucking shit,
hold up.
No, dead serious, though. Let's go. Let's do it.
Hold up, let me ask you something.
Ask me anything you want. Buddy.
All right. What are your last thoughts?
My final thoughts about this podcast?
Yes.
I want it to end.
It doesn't matter what your final thoughts are.
Okay, fucking Dwayne fucking Cock Ronson.
Shout out. Hey, man, leave The Rock alone, dude. That's my guy, bro.
I've been telling you to leave The Rock alone since you walked in here.
Oh, fuck.
A.K.A. The Rock is, you know... A metaphor for my penis.
I set myself up
go.
For that one, right?
Yeah, you did. You set him up, I knock him down.
It just does not stop, man.
So, final thoughts, fuckers.
All right, my final thought, man.
I'm so disappointed in you two guys.
Explicit the Gifted from So Ill With It Productions. My final thoughts are, it's been a pleasure being
here. How long you been growing that mustache for?
For a minute, but I actually had
only 1 minute?
I've actually had I had a stash like you.
I got
for a minute.
Buzz.
Yeah,
but it was actually.
It was fucking thug life, gangster, huh?
It was pretty cool, man. You know, but it just got irritating after a while.
Right.
You know, you got to start to put the shampoo every week and shit every day. Now you start itching and getting fucking scratching and start doing like a damn cat.
We got to fucking end this shit.
Yeah. Hey.
This is a train wreck. I'm just kidding. In all honesty, David Del Toro is one of my favorite people on the fucking planet.
No, my brother.
Straight up.
Mother, you know?
And I remember meeting him back in the day, and he helped me grow as a person. When I met him, I was like, I rap? And he's like, dude, I rap. And he fucking had microphones, and I went to his house, and... I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't be half as cool as I am today if it wasn't for him, because he recorded me, like, straight up. So I could freestyle all day long in a fucking closet, and at the end of the day, it means nothing. But this guy recorded my music, put it on the internet. He gave me the balls to put it out into the world. And then I started forming bands and just fucking playing shows and just being who I am today. So this is one of the individuals who really is a stepping stone into my life of who I am. And I turned 35 today. It's my birthday. And this motherfucker drove from fucking Chicago to come see me. He bought his fucking, he bought his friend Jeffrey with, and we're hanging out. And I truly appreciate you, David Del Toro. I love you so much. Look me in the eyes when I say it.
For sure, bro.
I love you, dog. Like, for sure. In all honesty, like, you're my fucking guy. Okay. You know this to be true.
Definitely, man.
And podcast, fucking schmodcast, whatever. We've been talking like, oh, let's get on the podcast. No. But in all real life, you're one of my favorite fucking people on the planet.
Yeah, man.
And thanks for hanging out with me till 6 o'clock in the morning getting shit hammered.
For sure, man.
And fucking...
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I just appreciate it. So... his name's Abu.
Yeah, it's
is it Anbu or Anbu?
It's Anbu. It's literally
Anbu.
Yeah,
I've been busting his balls all night. His name's Anbu, and we're fucking peacing out. You are now exiting the House of 1,000 Discourses.